passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another week of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is Dylan White. He dusted off the motherboard and he got the robot up and rocking this week. The Robo Scout is back. I'm going to lead the show off with that. Baseball America subscribers, or if you're not a Baseball America subscriber but want to read about the Robo Scout, subscribe to Baseball America, where you will see the first edition of 2024 of the Robo Scout. Some exciting names there. Probably some names were probably not terribly surprised to see the robot pick out at this point. Some top performers. Has only been a couple of weeks. So our brains can still grasp the numbers of a handful of games for some of these guys. And I guess maybe two or three if you're in AAA. But Dylan, welcome to the show. Exciting to have the robot back and baseball kind of in full swing, it feels.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jeff. It was good. I always enjoy the first run of Robo Scout. I just love to see what names are going to pop up. It's kind of like, I don't know, opening up baseball cards and then seeing who you get. It's like that type of thing of like, who's going to pop that I would not have expected. What's a name that I haven't had in my top 400 or whatever. So it was really nice to dust that off. And yeah, it's only been, you know, like 9 games or something in the lower minors, like an average of like 25 plate appearances. So of course it's way too early to do anything to make any sort of actionable conclusion or draw any conclusions. I guess there are some actionable actions you can take. But yeah, always fun. I mean, I think if you're on Twitter or if you're following along with any other prospect hounds, I mean, these are names. Some of the names I talked about are names that you've probably heard, guys who've are leading the league in home runs, or guys who you know, have a lot of stolen bases, or guys who are striking out 19 and walking 0. So yeah, I mean, I just want to leave a little teaser here so we can talk into some names if you want, or you'll have to subscribe to read the names.
Yeah, we'll get into some of those names in a brief moment, but why don't we talk a little news? We've had some things happen again. We got official word on the Tommy John surgery of Spencer Strider. So me and several other Strider managers, owners, whatever you want to say, had a scramble and go and pick somebody up. So that's just a lot of fun. I threw him onto my IL in a few leagues where it was unlimited just to feel the power of having him still on my team, like to remember him, you know, like putting his number up there in the rafters and see what happens. But it's tough sledding out there, Dylan. It feels like there's more and more injuries. We've had more guys, especially on the pitching side, hit the IL this week. We had Bobby Miller hit the IL. We'll see how long-term that is, which success in this league is fleeting. 2 weeks ago, Bobby Miller looked like the best pitcher on the planet, and here he is on the injured list. We're getting some guys back. Kyle Bradish, I believe, makes a rehab start tomorrow in high A. Don't quote me on that one. I think it was high A. But Bradish is on the road to recovery. Hopefully he's back in the Baltimore rotation soon. So it's kind of like a carousel right now. I don't know if I missed any other injuries. I know Marco Gonzalez went down with an elbow sprain or potentially something elbow related. He's on the IL. And then I lost our, 90-mile-per-hour throwing out of nowhere Cody Bradford that I had on like a million teams. because I added him everywhere where I was like, well, he's had a good team, so he might get some wins. And he seems to be going deep into starts. This seems to be working. I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. I've made some moves to slide him into my IL, even when I had limited IL spots. Any other injuries that I'm forgetting? I know I had a bunch of my team, so I was able to just rattle them off because the last 2 days I've spent planning around all of these injuries. Were there any other ones that I missed from this week?
Non-pitchers. Can I include those? Because there are a bunch of those
too. Guys as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Carlos Correa. Oblique. I think they changed it to intercostal. He's on the IL.
That's not great either.
No.
I feel like his body is just really breaking down. It's scary.
Yeah, he started off pretty hot this
month. Did.
Yeah. So it's too bad. I kind of liked seeing what he was doing. And like Byron Buxton has played every game for the Twins as well and has qualified for outfield. So it seemed like maybe, you know, these guys are going to survive the injury bug, but apparently not. Jake Berger of the Marlins has something similar. I think it's an oblique as well. He just went on the IL. Dominic Canzone of the Mariners, I think, crashed in the wall, separated his shoulder, I think, and that led to the Jonathan Class A being called up. Power speed threat for the Mariners. And then there's also Max Meyer. I know I'm jumping all over the place.
No, that's fine. I was going to bring that one up on the rear as well. So go ahead and do it.
Yeah, it's just like Max Meyer sent down to AAA for some reason. Edward Cabrera starting today. This is Monday. And then Braxton Garrett was supposed to come back this week, but then they said he has dead arms. So he's actually going to be pushed back a bit, maybe a week or so. So I wonder if they knew about the Braxton Garrett stuff before they sent Meyer down, because I kind of don't think they would want to. I don't know. Or maybe it's all part of service shenanigans.
They have to keep Meyer down, I believe, for 20 days, or it will count as MLB service time. So if they're trying to game it a little bit, I assume it's just a rest thing to maybe, you know, just kind of spread the innings around here. They have Cabrera who's back. They move him down and, you know, sort of shift some things around and maybe have him throw like, you know, 2 or 3 innings once a week and, you know, limit the innings a little bit. That way you watch the workload. First full year coming off of Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, it does make some sense. You know, it's always a little bit unusual when you have a guy like that who 24 hours ago, Dylan, the thought crossed my mind, should I start sending some offers for Max Meyer? He's looked awesome. I think he led the major leagues in whiffs or something. Like it was one of those where it was like, okay, like this might be worth jumping on the bandwagon while he's fresh and healthy. And then before I could even send out some of those trades, he gets demoted down in AAA. So we'll see how that all works out. Something I wanted to ask you as well is, what do you make of the Skeens thing? Because just this is my educated guess here as to what's going on. All right. They're limiting his innings because they want to, he has a cap. They're not all that concerned with him building up, I'm guessing. And they want to have him pitching and active and competitive, but don't want to put him into harm's way by having him go 6-7 innings in games that, frankly, sorry, AAA managers and fans and players, more or less are meaningless. And they're trying to gain the service time. I assume that whenever they hit this service time date, whenever that is, assuming it's maybe mid-May, so a few more starts for Skeens, and then he gets called up because there's no other logical explanation for what they're doing right now other than trying to limit innings so he can finish strong in the second half of the year. And if they're in playoff contention, which the Central's wide open and they got a shot and they have a decent team, maybe the Pirates have an opportunity to push toward the playoffs. And then obviously they're trying to get that extra year of control, because I think with a player like Skeens and a team like the Pirates, it's not so much about the bonus pool or the extra draft pick as much as it's about that extra year of control. Whether that's to stretch the competitive window for the Pirates, we'll see about that, or to have that extra year of control and be able to trade Skeens 2 years out and he has 2 years of control, you know, whatever, 2 years out from the end of the deal and it's a year later. So, you know, I think that that's really what's going on here, because I've had people ask me and sort of baffled by what's going on. It seems like it's just, it's pure service time manipulation. I don't think I'm going out on a ledge by saying that. Dylan, do you have any other thoughts on the Skeens thing? Because he's just dominated. It's almost been goofy at this point.
Yeah, I think you probably know more than anybody. It's the weird thing to me, the baffling thing, or I guess the second most baffling thing. Most baffling is why he's not in the majors. The second most baffling thing is they're only just running him out like three innings and then just pulling him, like you said. Like, I don't know how easy it is for a pitcher who is kind of got his arm used to throwing three innings to come into the majors and then go six innings, eight innings. I mean, what's the expectation if he comes to the majors?
We don't know if he's going into the tunnel and throwing like three more simulated innings or something too, right? Like, I think that he's so big and he's proven over the course of a few years that he can handle a sizable workload. He can throw, we've seen him throw 130 pitches in a game multiple times all throughout his season at LSU. I think they're not worried about him building up, which is why I mentioned that in the opening. But it is kind of confusing, right? Like, he's thrown a total of 9 1/3 innings at this point, has allowed 4 hits, walked 2 batters, and struck out 19. I mean, it's absurd, you know? So I don't think there's any other reason to have him in the minor leagues at this point. And I can understand, like I said, if they're like, hey, hard stop on Skeens at 130 this year, why would you want to use the 30 innings in the minors even, right? Use like 15 innings. They send them out there 5-6 times. It's 15, 18 innings, maybe, you know, 20 innings. And then he gets called up to the major leagues. And, you know, he got his month and a half in AAA. And that gets him that extra year of service time. And, you know, they can go on their merry way. And we see Skeens throwing 5-6 innings. I do wonder, though, if they build up in AAA or if they build up in the majors. What do you think about that?
Like, what, which path they think they'll take?
Well, will his first 70 to 80 pitch outing be in AAA or will it be in the majors?
I have no idea. I don't know why he's still in AAA. I would guess that in like the week or two prior to them calling him up, I assume they have a plan. I assume they have a date already in mind. I don't think they're like, let's see how he does before we do it. So I think they have a date in mind. And they're working backwards from that. And I think maybe in the 1 to 2 weeks leading up to it, they'll start letting him loose more. I think he will start to build it up. And I think that kind of will build the anticipation too in the fan base. Because it's like, oh, he's now up to 5 innings. Oh, he's now up to 6 innings. It's going to be imminent. And then they'll have like the LeBron decision.
What if they just do like 4 or 5 innings his first few major league starts? Right. Mm-hmm. You know,
for sure.
And they just have somebody who's balked for a couple innings behind him. They got plenty of guys that can do that. So, you know, I would be interested to see if maybe that's what they do for a couple of starts. And all of a sudden start number three, we see 5, maybe 6 innings, 80, 90 pitches. And then he builds up to his 100. And we're seeing that by, you know, the middle of June. I'm kind of interested. You know, I think it's an interesting story. It's something that people are acknowledging and talking about, but I don't feel like at least I haven't seen it like directly, like what's going on here and let's kind of break it down. So I wanted to do that with you and kind of talk through it with you. This was totally unprompted. I'm actually going to take a break right now, but Dylan, when we come back, I'm going to put you on the hot seat with a couple of underperforming major leaguers that I've gotten some questions about. So why not put you on the hot seat? This is Unprepared. I'm putting Dylan on the spot. Before that, we're going to take a break. What do you say, Dylan?
Let's do it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them, all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. And we are back. When I said I was going to put you on the hot seat, I wanted to give you a couple of names of underperforming stars. And I'm going to give you three colors. Red being, I'm very concerned. Orange, mildly concerned. And then yellow, which is, I'm not concerned. Just wait it out. The first name I'm going to throw at you is Corbin Carroll. Do you have any level of concern with Corbin Carroll? What color would it be right now?
I'm mildly concerned.
Ooh, an orange.
I'm an orange, yeah. I think that there's been talk about how ever since his shoulder injury, he hadn't hit a home run in like whatever date it was, how many months. I mean, he did hit one just recently, so he got that monkey off his back. But yeah, he hasn't dominated. So I'm not concerned about his career. I'm not concerned about his value as a dynasty fantasy player. I'm not concerned about how he's going to do for the Diamondbacks. I'm a bit concerned just this year. I would like him to kind of shake out of his slump because then it would immediately go to no concern. But if this lasts for 2/3 of the season, then it's like, oh, maybe he has some sort of underlying health issue that needs to be addressed, and maybe there'll be surgery. And then if that happens, then everyone's going to talk about, oh, he's definitely a fade in 2025, blah, blah, blah. So I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. And this is just, he's just starting off slow. So,
yeah, I'm yellow on Carroll, actually. He's already got a 110 max EV this season. The shoulder was a major issue. He wouldn't be putting up 110 EVs, especially Corbin with his build and swing and everything. His K rate's down 12%. The walk rate's up 4%. He's not seeing a lot of pitches. If you've watched some of those games, he's really getting pitched around right now. And I think that's something he has to adjust to a little bit, as well as that team. But I'm mild in this one. I think that maybe there's not as much cause for concern as some might say. I do think the shoulder is a logical place to go with it. I dug in a little deeper because I had my other co-host, Matt Pajak, was asking me about it, what my thoughts were, and we kind of went back and forth on it a little bit. And we both determined that we're very, very much not concerned at this point. Next one I wanted to throw at you was Ronald Acuña. What's your level of concern right now with Acuña? And I want to say, let's remove the price tag from this, whether it was in an auction draft or the 1-1 pick and what the expectations were. But what's your level of concern right now with Acuña?
Very low, very low. The reason for that is the reason why my concern's low is he's stealing bases. If he was not stealing or had not made any attempts, then I would be concerned because it's like he's not running, he's trying to protect the knee, and all the other production is kind of falling out of that. But he is running. I think he might have 7 stolen bases or something like that now. Yeah. So to me, his legs are healthy. And so it's just like a timing thing. He has to shake off the rust. He has no barrels from my understanding. I have him in sort of my good DC. So I'm definitely paying attention. But I don't, yeah, I think it's just a timing thing. I think this is just at the end of the year, we're going to wonder why we were worried about Ronald Acuña, assuming he doesn't go in the IL.
Well, let me ask you this one. So another yellow. Let me ask you this one. Julio Rodriguez, it's been a really, really tough start so far for Rodriguez. He's 11 for 59. 10 of those are singles. He's got one extra base hit, three runs, three walks, 21 strikeouts. What's your level of concern right now with Julio?
Definitely higher than Ronald Acuna. I was concerned a bit by the end of last year because he came to Toronto. This is my recollection, so it may not be exactly accurate, but they came to Toronto and he had missed a couple games in the previous week. And I think it was a back thing. And then in the dugout, he was wearing like one of those back braces while he was like in between innings. And so like he wasn't right at that time. And so something I noted, you know, keep an eye on this one because, you know, maybe he's going to have back problems and maybe we're going to hear about back problems later. So to me, this is kind of confirmation bias of like, oh, this is that back thing that I noticed. But yeah, he's not doing well. I think the whole Mariners are since they're struggling and the fan base is turning on him and he got picked off to end the game on Sunday, came in the bottom of the ninth or the ninth with two outs and got picked off and the game ended against the Cubs. Like it's just the worst kind of possible start for Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners. So I am mildly concerned. I have him in another TC. He was our first pick, I think third overall. And yeah, he's not really helping our cause at all. He's yeah. Like you said, you listed the numbers, the strikeouts are high. There's no extra base hits. There's no real impact. I think he's either having an injury that's hampering him or hopefully it is just a slow start. And it's just kind of the whole Mariner, situation is kind of weighing him down. So I think we'll know in 2 weeks. Let's check back in 2 weeks because I think that'll go a long way to see where we're at.
Got one more hitter for you while we're on this topic. How about Francisco Lindor? Where are you at with Francisco Lindor? Because I do have a level of concern myself. I would say I'm about an orange on that one. I do have some shares there in Dynasty where I'm a little concerned by the early numbers and, you know, I've kind of always felt like there could be a point where this guy just kind of falls off just a little bit from what his pace had been. And he's just, you know, not a top 50 fantasy player and more like someone in that like 150 to 200 range. So where are you at with Francisco Lindor?
Yeah, I don't have any Lindor at all. So I don't pay too much attention. I do know, I mean, like I know peripherally how he's doing, but I'm not like really digging into it. I'm not that worried. Like his strikeout and walk rates aren't horrible. Like I think that's where we'd see it first. If it's sort of like an age fall off where like the decline phase is happening, I think you'd see the strikeouts pop up and like, or the walks go down and you'd like be selling out to try to pull stuff like that. I think I'm less concerned with Lindor for 2024 than I am for Julio Rodriguez. I just think it's like the Mets too. Like they're having a bad start too, a slow start. And I think he's a large part of that, but I don't think this is the beginning of like, this is the end. And like by 2025, he's not going to be rosterable. I don't think that at all.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's just foolish, but I think I've just gotten so many good years out of the guy that you sort of hit a point where you're like, all right, when is this going to start to deteriorate a little bit? But he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory and, you know, he's a good athlete and, you know, guys' skills certainly don't get worse as they age. So I don't think he's lost that final piece of twitch that would have been of a concern for me. Let me throw a couple pitchers at you and then we'll move on. We'll talk about some Robo Scout's name as we wrap up. But Jackson Holliday, actually. You know what? Let's throw this one out there. Are you concerned at all with Jackson Holliday?
I'm not concerned. Obviously not for his career, not for what he's going to do as a fantasy player. Maybe 2024. He's starting off slow, obviously. That's like 0 for 12 with 9 strikeouts or something like that. I think it's just jitters. I think literally once he gets the first hit, it's just he's going to go on a tear and we're going to end all about the slow start. So as he gets his first home run, then he'll
Yeah, and I actually thought in the game that I saw the debut, obviously, I thought he was really selling out trying to pull a ball down the line. You know, was hoping to just kind of catch one, get that magical moment on his major league debut, and I think he kind of chased that for a few games. I think he's going to settle in. I think he's too good of a hitter. We've seen him adjust too many times. I think the strikeout rate's going to, you know, plummet. I think he is the type of guy that you may have a month where it is getting his sea legs, and then he's going to get his balance. He's going to figure out what's going on. He's going to get his timing at the plate. He's going to have seen it. He's going to have seen how guys are pitching him. Going to have, you know, the routine of the game plans and sleeping in the hotels and you know, getting all that down. I think we're going to see that. Because I know actually after his start, I don't think I put this into my story, after his debut, one of the things he said is that he didn't sleep like at all the night before. And that he was kind of just running on like pure adrenaline and didn't really notice. And, you know, he's very polished and not the type of kid that's going to give you any sort of like buzzy quote about, you know, the struggles or something like that. It's just not who he is. So I think some of that, I think there's some adjustment as well. So that being said, I wouldn't panic right now with Jackson Holliday. I do want to ask you about George Kirby. I have George Kirby in a lot of places, Dylan. I'm a little bit worried, man. This has been ugly early. Luis Castillo hasn't been great. I got a lot of Kevin Gausman shares. I think I'm in red threat level right now with Gausman. Talk me through those three right there. Gausman, Castillo, and Kirby. What are your threat levels on those three?
So I happen to have them on a bunch of teams. So I can talk maybe. I can do some wish casting here. So let's start with Gausman, hometown Jay. The velocity being way down was a concern, obviously. Once we found out that back in April last year, he was a bit down too, it was a bit more reassuring. Anytime the velocity is down, of course, the alarm bells go off. Obviously, that's often a signal for an injury. His velocity came up a bit last time. Last outing. So, I mean, that's encouraging. So I'm hoping he's just building up because he missed the time, right? He had that shoulder, nagging shoulder thing in the spring. So he didn't have like the real full spring training that he had. So, you know, it's probably shaking off the rust there. So as long as the velocity comes up, which to me is the signal that he's okay, I'm less concerned, but you know, the start he's having is definitely not helping right now, like a 193 whip. George Kirby. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think him and Luis Castillo, I think it's part of that whole Julio Rodriguez Mariners thing that's happening right now, or just like everything that could go wrong seems to be going wrong. Kirby's velocity was a bit down too, but it's kind of come back up. He was kind of BABIPed to death against the Jays. He was pounding the zone too much. So I think it was like, surprisingly, pounding the zone for him is kind of like losing a bit of command because he wasn't kind of putting it in the spots he wanted. So I'm not that worried about Kirby. I have him in a lot of places. I expect him to get right. I did have that thing that happened last year where he was like, in the post-game comments, he was saying he should have been taken out earlier or whatever. Like this. So there is kind of, you know, makeup quote unquote concerns, that like he kind of gets petulant if things don't go his way. There was one game I watched, he pitched recently where it was like the Mariners were just booting the ball around in the infield. And he was like visibly showing his frustration at how they were just not
doing
like
the John Lackey.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think he's just kind of getting in his head right now. I think the skills are still there. The velocity is basically where it was. So I'm not as concerned about George Kirby. Luis Castillo, I don't know what's going on. I had high hopes for Luis Castillo. I traded for him in a dynasty league, the one I'm in with Tim McLeod. And he has not really done it for us. So I'm trying to pull up my spreadsheet here. He's still showing up in the top 20, Luis Castillo. This thing has like Stuff Plus in it. It has like the swing and miss stuff. and it folds in projections too. And he's still up there too. So the projections haven't moved too far down on him. And Steamer, which I use predominantly in my projections for pitchers, they tend to react quickly on velocity changes or stuff changes. So, and they're not really doing that. So I'm less concerned too. So I think all in all, this is, they're all yellows kind of bleeding into orange. I don't know if you remember, but Luis Castillo in April, a couple of years ago, like he looked horrible.
Oh yeah. I remember
tipping the change up and he was just getting crushed. So like, we've seen this before. We've seen the super slow start and he finished like extremely strong. I think that was the year he was traded to the Mariners. So what I'm saying is we've seen this sort of wide variance where he's had a slow start and then just comes back in his nails the rest of the year. So, you know, I'm kind of putting that in my back pocket is what I'm expecting from him.
Yeah. I like that conversation. So there you go. 15 minutes. Actually our teammate, our colleague at Baseball America, Seth Mates, had asked a little bit about maybe touching on some of these guys that are struggling. So Seth, I hope you're listening. I hope that helped you out a little bit there. Let's talk a little bit about these Robo Scout standouts, though. I know I've been dying to talk about the Robo Scout standouts. The number one name here for me, James Wood. I'm so excited about James Wood. I have him all over the place. And I think there is a reasonable shot that he could be called up within the next month. Something would have to break right, maybe an injury here or there. But, I mean, he is just absolutely scorching baseballs right now at the AAA level. Last couple of series I've watched, just seems like he's constantly doing damage. And you know, even the outs are often very loud outs. The swing and miss has gotten better. Tell me a little bit, about, the AAA standouts here. I'm sure there's some names that aren't a surprise and I know Wood's definitely one of them.
Yeah. I think yesterday when I ran it, James Wood was number one ahead of Jackson Holliday. I ran it again today after yesterday's games and Jackson Holliday has passed him again. So yeah, James Wood, power, speed. He's improved the contact so far this year. From what I recall, he had a 68% contact last year. I'm not sure what he's at now, but his strikeout rate's under 20%. So, and he had the big spring training. He's talked about how he's seeing like his pitch recognition is better. He's seeing the sliders come out of the hand better and stuff like that. So I'm taking that at face value and I'm all in on James Wood. I can't wait for them to call him up. I think he's going to be in the Nationals outfield this year by June. I gotta think. And that Nationals team will be exciting to watch. The bids for him in NFBC are going to be huge when he comes up. If he hasn't been rostered and stashed already. But a guy that can hit 265 with, you know, 2020, with CJ Abrams on that team and, you know, Lane Thomas being a 2020 threat. I think that's going to be a pretty exciting team. So I think James Wood and Paul Skeens, when they get just to kind of go full circle, when they get called up, the NFBC Fab is going to be, it's just watch out.
It's going to be exciting. Yeah, and I wanted to also bring up, what about Joey LaPerfido? There's certainly, you know, McCormick's playing fine. Obviously, Tucker's there. Jacob Myers has been pretty good. It is Jacob Myers, right? I didn't just throw out a random first name.
Jake. It goes by Jake. He goes by like Jake. Jake is his father's name.
He likes Jake. Yeah, exactly. He likes Jake. But Jake Myers has been fine. But I don't know. The idea of LaPerfido coming up is exciting, but this is not an organization that forces call-ups either. Like, it's really hard to push their hand. You know, I feel like we've seen guys mash, and we haven't necessarily seen anybody to the level of LaPerfido, but yeah, I don't know necessarily where he plays because I know they like Myers' defense quite a bit in center field.
They've been playing him at first. Which makes a lot of sense because Jose Abreu has not been doing well.
There you go.
Speaking of, you know, career aging, maybe hitting the cliff. There are some flashing red sirens there on Jose Abreu. And John Singleton is backing him up, I think, still. So they've been playing LaPerfido at first. 10 home runs like in 70 plate appearances. So like he's pressing the issue. I think Dana Brown said, I mean, it's just corporate talk, but you know, he's got to get the strikeouts down. We like what we're seeing with them, but you know, we need to get him working on the contact and you know, he'll be up this year, blah, blah, blah. So I like it. He's showing 30 home run power. He has a 34% strikeout rate right now, which is pretty high. So like Steamer, I think he's got like a 230 projection. He's a bit older too. He's 25. So like that's kind of his peak is going to be kind of a similar thing. So like a 230 batting average, maybe 25 to 30 home runs, a little bit of speed, maybe 10 stolen bases or so. So, I mean, definitely like that's Joey Gallo. Right now, if he came up now. So I think, you know, that's a useful player for sure. But because he's older, he's not really going to be like the big dynasty asset. So I'm interested for him to come up for sure. I want to see how he does. I have him on a couple teams as well. But yeah, it's sort of like it's the 10 home runs pops and, you know, your eyes light up. But like, you know, there's stuff under the hood that's a bit concerning. And you just got to pump the brakes. But still definitely a guy who's breaking out this year.
And here we go. Outside of Paul Skeens, I'll put you on the spot. You can answer this one fairly quickly. Who is one AAA pitcher that you would be stashing right now based on RoboScout, not Skeens?
Christian Scott, without a doubt. I have Christian Scott ahead of Paul Skeens right now in RoboScout, even though the Skeens numbers are off the charts. It's because of the three innings per game that Skeens is doing. Like RoboScout doesn't know what to make of that. Does that mean he's just airing out and will he hold velocity in, you know, the fifth inning, sixth inning, etc.? The projections have Skeens ahead of Scott, but just Scott like looks like I ran the numbers today just before the thing, before the podcast. He basically looks like Sonny Gray right now. And I triangulated that with Steamer as well. They have them similar projections. So sort of like 123 whip, 4.0 ERA, 8.6 K per nine. That's what they have for Christian Scott right now. And then if you kind of extrapolate, he's 25 to what he'd do at peak, he's kind of like Sonny Gray, Bailey Ober. Like he's a 120 whip, 3.8 ERA. Like this guy could pitch right now and make an impact. So I would take Scott probably at the price. I would take Scott too over Skeens.
I like it. And you're saying very good things for my labor team, which is struggling right now and didn't lose Spencer Strider. You're saying that if James Wood and Christian Scott, my two stashes on my bench, come up, I could be getting a little Sonny Gray. I might be getting an impact hitter. This could be big for my team. I hope that's the case. That could potentially save my season, Dylan. Let's go on to Double A. I want you to give me one hitter from Double A and one pitcher from Double A that you're excited about.
I'll do the pitcher first. Double A, it's Drew Thorpe. I like him because I think we saw what he did last year. He looked good. He looked like he was going to make an impact for the Padres. They trade him to the White Sox, where it looks like he's probably going to play with their roster. So it's kind of, he's a known quantity. I can't wait for him to come up. He'll go for good money too, because he was a popular pick in draft champions. So he's third right now in RoboScout. The interesting top name is Ian Seymour of the Tampa Bay Rays, who is 25. So he's not really that much of a prospect, but he has a 49% strikeout rate and a 3% walk rate.
He is coming off of Tommy John surgery and then returned last year. So that kind of, and then was a 2020 draft guy. So the fact that he's 25 kind of got gobbled up a little bit. He's one of my neighbors, actually.
Like it literally, like.
Yeah, he's from Westboro, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, tell him that RoboScout likes him. He's got sort of the best projection right now. Of anybody in Double A, Yumin Lin. You asked for one name. I'm going to give you three names. Yumin Lin, who is a divisive prospect because he doesn't really throw for velocity, but he gets the results. He's at the top here. He's at the top of RoboScout, in the top three at Double A. So he's an interesting one. I'm just fascinated by following his career. If you're a Statline scout, like RoboScout is, or like Scout the Statline, Jordan Rosenblum, or any of those others that you can see, he's always popping. And then like the guys, the scouts, don't like the fact he only throws, you know, 91, 92. This is going to be a fascinating one to see how that one shakes out. So those are my three AA pitchers, Ian Seymour, Yumin Lin, Drew Thorpe. Let me pull up the hitters. Who do we got in AA?
No, you know what? That's it. I don't want to give the people too much. You kind of went through like half the article. I'm going to hold it there because the real juice, those high A and low A names, I want the subscribers to be able to see all those. So we're going to pause it there. We're going to put a lid on this. If you want to see the rest of the names as well as the great RoboScout articles, they're going to be rolling out week after week after week throughout the season. Got to subscribe to Baseball America. For our subscribers out there, we appreciate it. Of course, thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing us to do all this. And for all the listeners out there, thanks for tuning in to another week of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. For Jeff Ponce, for Dylan White, thanks.
Cheers.